word from God. And you know, it's always my heart's desire to have grandchildren and children who hear from God, you know, and I believe he does hear from God. But you know, Margaret was talking to us about my niece. She asked for prayer for my niece. You have to realize with my niece that she's very intelligent and she wants to act very, very self-sufficient all the time. And it's hard for, I mean, I couldn't hardly believe that she called this morning. And I believe stuff too. But I couldn't hardly believe this morning that she called and asked for prayer because she's so proud and everything, you know. But you know that what that means? That means God's breaking her down. And she's reaching out because she knows that God's the answer. And that just thrills my heart anytime that something like that happens, you know. And, you know, I believe God will touch her or he'll meet her in a special way. And I'm just going to trust that. But I thank you for your prayers for her. And, you know, I just wanted to just mention that. And before I get into the word here today, I'm just going to tell you the title to my sermon is called All in All, The Great Mystery, okay? And it's written on the paper here. We talked about it back there in Sunday school, but that's what's written right here on my paper here on my notes. All in All, The Great Mystery. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come into your presence right now. I ask you to have your way. I ask you, Father, to just pour yourself out of me and through me. And I ask you to just be lifted and magnified and glorified in our midst. I thank you for the praise and the worship that's already been here. You said you would sing praises in the midst of the congregation, and I believe you did that this morning, Father. And I love even the vision that you gave or the dream that you gave to Joey. And that I believe, Father, that you're going to start bringing people in that are really hungry for God. And that you will just satisfy that hunger, Father, because only you can satisfy that hunger. Nothing out there in natural life will satisfy people. The only thing that will ever bring satisfaction is when they find that they're complete in you. And I just pray in Jesus' name that you have your way here today. And I give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor ahead of time. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. You know, in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 says this. It says, it actually is chapter 1, verse 10 through 11. It says this. Wherein hath he abounded toward us with all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. And here's the mystery, and we need to pay attention, because when God says stuff like this, then he turns around a lot of times, and if you pay attention, he answers you. And it says this is the purpose, hath he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things. How many is all things? That's all things, folks. In Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined. And you know what predestined means? That means he had it all planned out ahead of time, and it was going to happen. Having inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things. There again, that's the word all. How many's all? All things after the counsel of his own will. God is in control, folks. I don't care what's happening in your life. I don't care what's going on. God was in control with Mark in his car. You know, and you know, he's my son. He could have been killed. You know, if that had happened a few minutes earlier, when he was on the expressway going 70 miles an hour, Good chances are he might have been killed. But you know, God's in control. And I tell you what, I've found out in my life many, many times that when something happens, that, you know, you could always look at it in a negative way. You could always say, oh, look what happened to my car. And, you know, I got to get another car and I got to pay out this money. But you know what? He had the right attitude because he knows God. He was thanking God because God had kept him safe. And that car, I mean, is just a car. Mechanical things fall apart. They break. They do stuff. You know, I've had to put money in my cars lately, way more than I want to, you know. But you know what? He's mindful of all of that. And I tell you the truth, this is nothing compared to him, but I got a little truck out there that I was driving, and I took it to have a muffler put on it. And I went to CarX, one of the big muffler places, and they wanted to charge me $2,000 to put a muffler on my car. $2,000. And I talked to the guy, and he started telling me as we were having a conversation. He said he might be related to me distantly, because he saw my last name. I told him what my last name was, and he said, "Well, you know, I've got some relatives with that same last name." And I said, "You do?" I said, "Well, are you going to give me the family discount?" He says, "Well, I'd like to, but I can't." I said, "Okay." I said, "Well, let me ask you a question. Why is it $2,000? He said, "Well, it'd be $1,000 for the catalytic converter." And he said, "And then it's $1,000 for the other stuff." I said, "You're going to charge me $1,000 for a muffler that I can go buy for about maybe $200 and for a few pieces of pipe, and you're going to charge me $1,000? I said, "Man, you ought to be ashamed of yourself." I just come out and told him. And he says, "Well, it's not me." He says, "It's the company." He says, "They set the prices and I have to do it." I said, "Well, I'm not going to let you do it." I said, "I'll have to go think about that." And in the meantime, I went to another guy who does some work for me. And this just goes to show you how God even lines up people. This man has always been honest with me, and every time that he's ever tried to fix anything for my car or any of my vehicles, he always will stand 100% behind it. If something else happens to that car that he should have caught, when you go back and tell him what happened, he'll usually fix the other thing for nothing. That's the way he is. But he told me when I went in there and I asked him about my muffler, he says, "You know," he says, "I have a guy who opened a shop up recently who used to work for me, young guy." And he said, I'm going to send you to him." Now, most of the time, someone who does work on cars is not going to send you to a competitor. But he said, "I'm going to send you to him." And he said, "And I think he'll do you really right." So I went up there and I had him look at it. And you know what his price was? $500. $500. You think God don't meet you? He meets you. He meets you in your everyday life. He meets you in all your situations and all your circumstances. If you trust him. Now you got to trust him, you know. You got to believe that he's going to meet you. You know, everyone who comes to him, talking about Christ, must believe that he is, first of all, and is a present tense now word. That means right now. He is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In other words, you seek after him. And you know, when you seek after him, guess what? You find him in all the situations in your life, and he meets you on every turn. You know, we was sharing a few things back there. I was telling you guys a couple stories, and I have to be careful because in Sunday school I don't want to say too much because I start preaching sermons back there, and I want everybody to share, you know, because that's what that is, a sharing class. But we were talking about some different things, you know, and I said, well, I could tell all kind of stories how the Lord, you know, has met me in many, many ways, a lot of different ways. But you know what? I just want you to know that he works all things after the counsel of his own will. And you know, I was when I was a real young Christian, I was reading Ephesians. And when I read that portion of scripture there, it was almost like it jumped off the page at me when I read it. And I thought, oh, God, you do work all things after the counsel of your own will. Does that mean the things I like only? No. Does that mean the things I don't like too? Yes. It absolutely does mean that. It's all according to his will. And I tell you what, when you come to realize that he's sovereign, he's the sovereign controller. The actual name Lord in Scripture, if you look it up a lot of times, the definition of it, it means sovereign controller. And when someone's sovereign, they're the king. And when they're the controller, guess what? They control everything. And you know, that's what God is. He's the sovereign controller. And I don't care what's happening in your life, he's there to meet you if you'll just trust him. The next scripture here is 2 Peter 3:9, and it says this: The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, when you read that, if you read that and you believe that, and then you believe what I just read you up there, he works all things after the counsel of his own will, and then he's not willing that any should perish. Think about that. How many are going to perish? None, if he's not willing that any should perish. I mean, you know, you have to take the scripture for what it says there. 2 Corinthians, but that all should come to repentance. Now, I'm going to tell you, there might come a day when some of the people that you thought was the meanest, ugliest, terriblest people you ever known, and you think, well, how in the world could they ever come to a place? There's scripture that says there's coming a time when every knee shall bow. You know how many every is? That's all of them. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. And what did you do to get saved? You confessed him as Lord and Savior. And I'm going to tell you what, some of these scriptures that you're going to hear me preach from here once in a while are going to go a little bit against traditional religion, what it teaches out there. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm not going to tell you nothing but what the Word of God says. And that's what I'm going to tell you. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says this, and 20. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not in putting their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Amen. Now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled. And you know, when he says he's committed unto us the word of reconciliation, what does that mean? That means that we're to go out and tell people what he did. He reconciled them. He did it when he hung on Calvary's tree. He did it when he rose from the dead. They were reconciled unto God. They don't think they're reconciled, and because they don't believe they're reconciled, they're going on in their way and pulling away from God instead of pulling toward him. But part of the ministry that he's given us is to tell them what he has done. Tell them they've been forgiven. Tell them that he's a God of love, a God of mercy, a God who wants to embrace them and put his arms around them and love them, you know. And then it says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Galatians 2:20 says this, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, what he's really saying there, he's saying you have to identify with the crucifixion of Christ. When he hung on Calvary, he took your place. He took my place. He wiped away the sins of the whole world. Now, they don't believe it, they've been wiped away, so they're going to continue on walking around in error. But I got news for you. Part of what we're to do is to tell them they've been forgiven. They've been set free. All they have to do is receive what he's done. Praise God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says this, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. I'm going to tell you what, you can't never get away from the preaching of the cross. You can't never disannul the preaching of the cross, because without the cross, we'd be lost. And I'm going to tell you, that's what he came for. Jesus came to reveal the Father, but he also came to die for the sins of the whole world. He became, Scripture says, he became the propitiation for our sins. And that word propitiation, it literally is the word, I think you pronounce it halorestrin, something along those lines. Some of these Greek words are hard to pronounce. But what it means is it's the same word that's translated as the mercy seat.
Yes, amen.
Same word in Greek, the mercy seat. He became the mercy seat that we could come and sit down in him and be enwrapped by his love, his mercy, his forgiveness. He's the mercy seat. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes the way that we look at things has a lot to do with how we function in life. You know, Mark could have looked at his situation, and, like I said, about, oh, my car. But he looked at it properly. Thank you, Lord, that you allowed me to get off of the expressway and not hurt anybody or hurt myself. You can replace a car, but you can't replace a life if you kill somebody. Praise Lot. Praise God. You know, there's a story that's told of a boy whose parents took him to Florida. And he spent the winter, and he returned to his home city, and he was kind of disgusted with the country he had been in. It was dull and stupid and uninteresting, he said. And sometimes kids will tell you stuff like that. Boy, this was dull and stupid and uninteresting, you know. But during the next few months, however, he was changed, and he was in the charge of a teacher, who was an enthusiastic botanist, and he kindled the boy's interest in his favorite study, and the boy learned about orchids and their strange life, and the tutor took him to the conservatory that he might see some of them growing. You should see them in Florida, the tutor told him. They are much better there, but these will give you an idea. The boy looked at him in amazement, and he said, I've been to Florida. He said, but I never noticed any of them. Perhaps you did not look for them. And in life, a lot has to do, what do you look for? Do you look to see Jesus in every situation? Do you look to know that he's going to meet you no matter what's happening, rather than complaining and griping and carrying on about, oh, poor me, I'm in a bad situation, you know? or, oh, my car got wrecked and I don't know what I'm going to do for a car, I'm going to tell you what, God can supply you a car. God can supply you with an insurance check way before you should have gotten it. Because normally, I know how that stuff goes. I get a little bit of a retirement check. It's very little. from a company that I used to work for, I get it on a monthly basis, and I never know when it's going to show up. It should come on the first day of the month. Sometimes it's 5 days late, 4 days late. Sometimes it actually shows up on the day it's supposed to. But you know what? When God's in control, He's always going to be on time, if you trust Him. And you know, it says, perhaps, he said to him, perhaps you do not look for them, the tutor said, but they will not escape you the next time you're in Florida. In other words, the next time you're in Florida, you'll be looking to see those orchids. That's often the way the Bible is. A man, when you see the beauty in it, but the Holy Spirit is ready to open our eyes to our understanding and teach us. It may be by some sermon or book which will lift a truth out of its hiding place and give it an application in our lives that never had before. But I just want you to know, it's like, I was telling people back there this morning about a situation where years ago, you know, I lost my job. I was a real young Christian, and I got laid off, and I'd been working for that company about 5 years, and I'd always tried to do my job as unto the Lord there, and I actually made it through 5 layoffs when I should have gotten laid off. They kept me through 5 other layoffs. But when they finally laid me off, I didn't understand it, but I went out in my car, and they called me over to a supervisor, you know, to talk to me. And he said, Oscar, we really appreciate, because I had worked through my vacation for them, helping them with this experimental thing that they were developing. And he said, we really hate to lay you off. He said, you know, we've held you through 5 layoffs when we should have let you go. And he said, do you think you'll come back if we ever call you back? And I said, well, I don't know. I said, but I want to thank you for the opportunity and everything that you've taught me while I've been here. And I said, and I'm sure I'll put it to good use somewhere. And I didn't know, but they wrote down your final comments in your records. And this was a big company, and they wrote down your final comments. And some guys, when they went over and got laid off, cussed and carried on and acted up real bad. Well, let me tell you what, they were only allowed to offer you your seniority back one time, and then you lost it after that. And when you got laid off from that company, their rule was if they laid you off, they didn't call you back for a year. That was their rule. And, you know, I told you guys about how that I got a job with a company where I didn't even have an application in, you know, and I believe God orchestrated that job. And I had super seniority in that company because I was the only guy that could do that job. And they had another guy trying to do the job, and I've shared this with some of you all before. They had another guy trying to do the job before I got there, and it was taking him 30 minutes to run one part. And when I went there, I was running that part in 6 minutes. A lot faster than him. So guess what? I was making them tons of money, and they knew it. And within a year's time, I had raised all the way up to the top. I was making the top money in that department. And, you know, and that all had to do with God, because when I got laid off from that other company, I had one kid 3 years old and a little baby had just been born. And I could have been thinking, oh, God, here I gave my life to you, and here I'm out of work, and I could have been thinking all kind of negative thoughts. But I don't know what it was. My mother worked in that company, too, in another part of that company, and it was a huge company. And, you know, I had to wait because they would take you in that company. When they laid you off, you had to leave right then. They wouldn't let you stick around because they didn't want you complaining to the other people, getting them all upset and everything. So they'd pack you up and ship you right out the door when they laid you off. But anyway, I wasn't upset. I wasn't afraid of what was happening. I didn't have hardly any money in the bank or anything. We were just first married, hadn't been married long. And I went to my car, and all I could do when I got in my car was just keep praising the Lord and singing songs to the Lord. And I had to wait for hours for my mother to get off work because she was riding with me. So I sat out there for hours in that car and just kept praising the Lord and praising the Lord. And, later on what ended up happening, like I was told back there, I kept going around putting in applications, and this was right after the Vietnam War had gotten over with, and everybody had people laid off because I worked in the machine tool business, and they, people weren't manufacturing war products anymore. They were going to slow it down because Vietnam War was over with. And every place I went in, they'd tell me, we've got guys laid off with 25 years experience. We can't hire you. You got 5 years experience. We don't need anybody, And I was getting a little bit disappointed because every time I'd go in, but I'd still keep praising the Lord. And I told you guys back there, I drove by this one particular company two or three times and never put an application in there. And then I got a call at my house when I was out, and Margaret told me some guy named Ray Haas called today and wanted to know if you still needed a job. And I said, I don't know no Ray Haas. And she said, I told him you'd have to call back tonight. He called me back, and he offered me a job. And this job, like I say, I was going to be the only one doing this particular thing in this company, this particular operation. And I would have super seniority. I wouldn't get laid off. I had my own parking space where when I worked at the other place, I'd have to park about a quarter mile away from the plant because there were so many people. I had my own parking space. It was air conditioned. And that other shop wasn't air conditioned. Matter of fact, I worked close to heat treat. They'd open up them furnaces, and it'd be so hot I'd have to turn my face away from the furnace because they'd bring big pieces of steel out there red hot, And this other job, I had the seniority. I had my own parking space. I had super seniority. It was air conditioned, And I was good at what I did. So, like I say, I was running parts in 6 minutes where the guy before me was taking him 30 minutes to run that part. But it was because I had been trained at a really good place and I really knew what I was doing. And later on, I became the supervisor in that company. And I worked there for 18 years, never was laid off, never missed a day, But I always did my job as unto the Lord. And I'm going to tell you what, when you trust in the Lord and you do your job or whatever you do for a living as unto the Lord, I used to tell him every day, I'd say, Lord, I need your help today. And he would help me every day. And I'm going to tell you what, sometimes when I was in supervision, he would let me know things ahead of time that was going to happen before it ever happened. A lot of times that happened. And it got to the point where when we had inventory in the company, I had a pretty good-sized department that I was over. And I had 400 jobs in my department that needed to be inventoried, 400. And I'm going to tell you what, anybody that knows me, I don't have the greatest memory in the world. I just don't. But I'm going to tell you, God fixed it to where all of my stuff was right in order when they went to inventory it. And when they inventoried some of the other departments where there was only maybe three or four guys working in that department, the company had a tendency that when they went around, they would get on those guys and say, well, Oscar has 400 jobs in his, and he's got all his lined up. You got 5 or 10 jobs and you don't even know where they're at, you know, and stuff, which I didn't like that they did that. But that would make them other guys sometimes, if they had to do an operation from my department, slow it down to try to make it where it wouldn't work for me, see. But even that didn't work. God always let me know. And sometimes the supervisors would come out into the shop and they were supposed to tell me when some real hot job was coming through, you know, that I was going to get. They'd forget to tell me. And I don't know if they did it on purpose or what, but I always had those jobs done when they were supposed to be done, sometimes way ahead of time. Why? Because I'd say every day, Lord, I need your help. I can't do this without you. And you know what? I had them come to me later on, and they told me, they said, you're the best supervisor we've ever had in this company. And it wasn't because I was smart, and it wasn't because I was that good. It was because God helped me every day. And I'm going to tell you what, he will help you in any situation you're in, job-wise or anything else. If you need a job, get up in the morning and say, Lord, I thank you that you are my source. You're going to supply all my needs according to your riches and glory. And I thank you that I'm going to find the right job at the right place at the right time. And you know what? You will find the right job. And I don't care what job you do. If you do it as unto the Lord, he will cause you to prosper in that job. He will cause you to be advanced. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of times today, I hear that some of the companies are giving people bonuses and stuff if they just show up all the time on a regular basis. Well, it didn't used to be like that. You didn't show up back when I was working in machine shops and stuff. You got fired, you know. They got rid of you. Nowadays, it seems like if you show up, you'll get more money. They'll give you more money for being dependable. But anyway, I just want you to know that he is your source. He is your all in all. And he wants to be your all in all. And when you make him your all in all, to where you trust him in all situations and all circumstances, you'll find out that he will meet you abundantly. He will meet you in ways that you just couldn't imagine. And I'm trying to decide if I want to tell you another story or not, but I think it's 12:30, so I think I've told you enough. But if you all stand, we'll go to the Lord in prayer, you know. And just remember, folks, he works all things after the counsel of his own will. That's all things. And if you'll trust him, I'm going to tell you what, he will cause you to be able to do things that are even beyond your capabilities. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for your words, for truly they are spirit and life. I thank you, Father, that you are our source. You are our all in all. And we just want to begin to just lift and magnify you in such a way each and every day that wherever we go, that your glory would just be seen there, Father. Not because of us, but because of you and your presence in our lives. Thank you, Father, that great mystery that had been hidden from past generations and now was made clear was Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you're not a God that's afar off. You dwell right inside of us, Father. That spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, and it should quicken our mortal body so that we can even show forth the glory of him who's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And I thank you, Father, and I ask you to just bless your people and let them have a wonderful week as they go forth. And I don't care, keep your hand of mercy and love on all the children as they go to school. Father, just let the angel of the Lord encamp around each one of them, Father, and keep them safe. And thank you for what you're doing. And we give you the praise, we give you the glory, we give you all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all.